about it. We've got to know what is the grace for. Okay, does that make sense? All right, and so today, our warm-up question is this, okay? Very simple. What percentage do you follow God? Okay, it's a simple question, but think of it as your year in review, okay? So for the whole of 2019 last year, okay, you know, God in the Bible, he gives a lot of commandments, okay? He says a lot of things, you know, make disciples, pray for people, you know, help the poor, so a lot of things, okay? Now, in your estimation, okay, how much of that do you actually follow? All right, there's no right or wrong answer. Some of you can say 70%, no 50, 30, 5, whatever it is, okay? No right and wrong answer. What is your percentage you feel? All right, and then just quickly share with someone next to you, okay? What is that percentage? What is that percentage? Anything, okay? Don't worry, no right or wrong. Don't need to be embarrassed. I'm pretty certain none of us is 100%. Pretty certain, okay? Yeah, I'm hearing 75, that's appearing a bit less, okay? Now, we've all got a number, correct? All right? And the thing is this, okay? What the grace is for. The gap, that means the thing that don't make up the 100%, okay? Whatever that you were lacking. So if you had said 70%, I follow about 70%. That 30%, okay? The gap, the missing gap. That gap in the Bible is described in two ways, all right? So real quick, the first way that is described is sin, okay? Everybody say sin. Okay, so when you read in the Bible sin, this is what it means. It's talking about the gap. And the definition here of sin, that's the Greek word hamartano, however you pronounce that. Okay, and its definition is to miss the mark, to do wrong, to sin. Okay, so you didn't hit the 100%, you missed the mark. That's the gap, all right? But it's not just about missing the mark. It says here, I don't know if you can see on further, it says that sin, it's not only missing the mark, but you are committing a sin against God. That means it's something that is personal. It is something that, I'll explain it a bit later, okay? But it's not just doing wrong, but it's something that's very personal to God. Now, the other word that describes this gap in the Bible, you will find, one of it is sin, the other one is transgressions, okay? Or some translation will say trespasses. Right, so there's two words, sin and transgression, okay? Turn to one neighbor, tell them sin. Turn to a different neighbor, tell them transgression. Okay, so the Bible uses kind of the two. It's quite similar, but it's slightly different, okay? So transgression is this, okay? Transgression, it means a false step, all right? Specifically, the word is used here in the underline, to fall away after being close beside, okay? That's the meaning of transgression. Meaning to say that we were once close with God, we were standing next to God, but because of transgression, we fall away. So we get further, the gap, remember the gap, we are further away. Okay, so that's, those two things are sin and transgression, okay? But they are not just the things that we do wrong or the things that we don't get right. Like I said, it's also something that is deeply personal to God, okay? So the way to think about it is like this. It's something like a betrayal. How many of you here, you felt like there was once in a life someone has betrayed you? Anybody? You felt that? Yeah, you experienced it? The rest, you have never tasted betrayal? Oh, good for you, okay? Hopefully, you never have to, okay? Now, isn't it true for those of us who have gone through some sort of betrayal, whether it's a friend, best friend, whether it's something to do with a relationship, it's not the one doing the betraying, okay, the betrayer. They are not just doing something wrong. They're doing it to someone. Does that make sense? So they're not just wrong. It's personal to you, okay? You are the one getting betrayed in that sense. So for God, our sin and our transgression, our gap, it's not just a moral gap. You know, oh, no, we did wrong. No, but it was deeply personal to God. When we say the word sin, we are committing an act against God. Okay? It is against someone. It's who we are doing wrong towards to, something like that, okay? I hope you understand that. All right, and so our verse today, we're going to study the passage in the book of Romans, okay, this is a book in the Bible, and in chapter 5, okay, in a certain select portions from, I think, 12 to 21, okay, it's quite a long one. We won't go through all of it. You can go home and study further. In fact, it is in your booklets, okay, so if you can turn there when you get home. All right, now, verse 13 says this, okay, for sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law, all right? So it's talking about all our sin. You see, before the law came, before the word of God came, all right, there was sin. But everyone was just guessing at how good or bad they are because you didn't know. That's what basically the verse is. So like when I ask you, you know, how much do you really follow God? You all got different percentages, correct? All different hours based on how you feel. But today, according to this word, we don't have to guess anymore because the reverse of this, what it implies is that now that there is the word of God, we can count actually how much of a gap do we have between us and God. Okay, so I'm going to go through I hope fun exercise. Don't feel condemned, okay? We all, the Bible says, all have sinned, okay? All have sinned. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I have sinned, okay? No one is perfect. And so, out of the thousands of things, okay, that God has said in the Bible, today we're just going to look at a very simple 10, okay? Very famous 10 commandments, okay? How do we measure up, okay? Don't have to tell anyone later, okay? But let's just go through, okay? So, year in review, 2019, all of us, how did we do? How much did we follow God? Just according to the 10 commandments, okay? Ignoring everything else just for now, okay? So, just 10. Just 10 only. Out of 10, how do we do, okay? Now, I'm going to paraphrase a lot because we don't have time to get into the 10 commandments. Some of it is really, really wordy. So I contextualize it for ourselves, okay? So, yeah, so these are my words. All right, so in Exodus 20, that's the actual version. You can go back and read the actual 10 commandments, but I'm just simplifying it. The first commandment says, no other gods, only me. All right, thou shalt not worship other gods. Okay, this is the commandment. All right, and so for us here, let's review, okay, 2019. It's really talking about priority in our lives, okay? Is there someone else other than God that we have prioritized in 2019? If there is, it's counted as a sin or a transgression. We have missed the mark, all right? So no points for you if you have not prioritized God over 2019, all right? Now, so you track along yourself, okay? Out of 10, how do yourself do, all right? No other gods, only me. Second commandment, quite similar to the first. It says, no idols of any kind, all right? Now, today's context, not many of us have idols, at least not the traditional idols, but we have other idols. So in our lives, 2019, was there anyone that you have idolized in 2019? Was there certain people, right? Certain girl, certain guy, certain Instagram influencer, someone that you really like, someone like, wow, you know, I really want to. Okay, that. Is there any of that in your lives? All right? Second commandment. Third, no using God's name irreverently. Okay, in 2019, did you ever utter God's name irreverently? Irreverently simply means not, you didn't revere God's word. That means it's not just that you didn't, you did it with, you disrespected God's word. It's not only that. It's you perhaps use it casually. You use it in a silly manner. How many of you like to say OMG and say out, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, shout Jesus when it doesn't really, you know, it didn't bring glory and honor to God's name. So if that's you, no points for you as well, okay? Fourth commandment, observe the Sabbath day. Now, this is a traditional thing. Let me just explain quickly. In the Jewish culture, they are asked to keep the Sabbath. Okay, so for the Jews, their Sabbath is Friday evening to Saturday sundown. Okay, so one whole 24 hours where they take that day to not do any work to honor God. Okay, so the brief history of Christianity is like this. We took that and decided to make it Sunday instead. Okay, so all the Catholics, all the Protestants, all the Orthodox Christians, they, instead of, you know, doing it on Friday or Saturday, traditionally we do it on Sunday to honor the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, and so that's the day that all Christians all decided to go to church to do that, to honor God. That's the whole idea of Sabbath day. So today, now today we are, so today, regardless of what day it is, okay, is there a day? Because some churches Friday, last time it was Saturday, right, before day, some churches weekday service. Okay, it doesn't matter. As long as there is a day. But for 2019, let me ask you this. How much have you and I prioritized observing the Sabbath day? Let me rephrase it, okay? How many times have you skipped church in 2019? All right? All right? If you have, no points for you. All right. Fifth. Okay, fifth commandment. Okay, it's not looking good so far for a lot of us, okay? Okay, this one maybe God. Okay, honor your parents, okay? But I say honor your father and your mother, okay? And this, in a sense, also means obeying your parents, whatever they need you to do. But it also, in a larger sense, when people look at you, okay, and the way that you live your life and the way that you were brought up, do you conduct yourself in a way that honors your parents? Okay, it's kind of similar to, you know, how people see like a really disobedient child and they say, what kind of parenting is it? You know, if you behave like that, it doesn't honor your parents. You know what I'm saying? So in the way that we behave, in the way that we treat them, in the way that we talk about them, regardless of how good a parent they are, do we honor them? Yes or no? Okay, so for you to evaluate. Okay, sixth commandment, no murder, but we also know it talks about even hate or even being angry with someone. We covered this in one of the messages, okay? Did you ever got angry with somebody in 2019? You have failed this commandment, all right? Seventh, no adultery, but we also know it's talking about there cannot even be a hint of lust inside our lives and all the things that is in between a hint and full-on adultery, okay? So that includes, you know, sexual thoughts, that includes pornography. Just there cannot be a hint of any of this. If there is, we all fail this, all right? Eighth commandment, no stealing, even digitally, okay? We're talking about pirating, torrenting, the things that, you know, for students especially, your software, is that legal or not? If not, Bible says that you are stealing, okay? No points for you if you are. Number nine, okay, real simple one. No lies or even gossip. There should be no falsehood among us, okay? That means no deception, no nothing like that. Have you ever participated in a conversation where there is gossip? And when it's gossip, it normally starts like this. I heard, fill in the blanks, okay? Every time I heard, you are not sure whether you are telling the truth or not, correct? Because it's hearsay. That's what it means. So if you did that, no points for you. Last one, no envy for others' belonging, okay? So when you look at the people around you, when you look at your colleagues, there should be no envy that towards their belonging. That could mean the way they live, their lifestyle. Wow, you're envious about that. The phone that they have, the relationship, maybe certain girl, both of you. You know, there should be no envy at all. All right? Now, that's just 10 out of the many things in the Bible, okay? We just simplified to 10. How do you think you did in this? Okay, I'll be honest with you. I think I'm probably close to 0 out of 10 myself, okay? As the pastor of the church, man, this is not brooding well for any of us, correct? All right? Because not only are we really terrible at this, but what is God's passing mark? What, not even A, okay? Oh, 100%. What is God's just passing mark? The bare minimum to get in. What is his passing mark? His passing mark is 100%. That means you have to be perfect to get in. You can't even miss a single one. of anything, okay? Because you if you do, then you don't even pass, okay? Now, I brought you through all of that not to discourage you, but to give you the good news, okay? Because in the Bible, if we look at back at Romans 5, okay, so verse 20 says this, now the law came in to increase the trespass, meaning to say, now that I've compared the law to you, you understand fully, right? Wow, actually, I'm worse than I thought I was, correct? Right? It increased the trespass, okay? It increased, it's like, oh, it brought into realization how bad we really are. But the good news, it is, it continues, it says, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That is the good news, that grace abounds, okay? And so today, I want to talk to you a little bit about God's abundant grace, okay? And you will begin to see why it is so amazing compared to our own sin and our own trespass that we have in our life. Okay, in fact, that's what the Bible does. So in the whole chapter 5, you can go back and read, starting from verse 15, okay? So this is the comparison. But the free gift, okay, talking about grace, talking about salvation, talking about, you know, God's mercy. But the free gift is not like the trespass. So it begins to compare. One side, free gift, one side, our trespass. And the first comparison is this, okay? There's three the Bible makes. For if many died through one man's trespass, okay, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Okay, let me read it again. For if many died through one man's trespass, we're talking about Adam, all right? Much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Okay, so the first comparison, we're talking about God's abundant grace is, well, abounding, all right? Meaning to say, it is comparing the quality and the quantity of this grace compared to our lack, compared to our gap, all right? And the verse here, it says this, okay? All we needed to do was to miss it by just a little bit, okay? For many died through one man's trespass. Just one thing we did wrong, it already missed it. But comparison, the abundant grace of God is this, okay? That through one man, okay? That through many, many sins, okay? That God took upon him, okay? That Jesus took upon him. Even more, okay, even more grace appeared, all right? So not only is there quality of the grace, but there's also quantity. It's so much. Let me try to explain to you abounding, okay? Now, in the States, okay, in the U.S., the States is known as the land of abundance, okay? Some people call it that, right? The land of abundance. Let me hear, you've been to the U.S. of A? No? One day? Hope to go? All right. Three people. All right. Anyway, everything that you see depicted in the movies, in the TV shows, in the reality is all about abundance, right? 16-year-old, 1 million, 2 million kind of birthday party, you know, everybody drives big cars, big dreams. It's the land of abundance. It is so abundant. Everything is so bigger. Everything is so much more that even their McDonald's, okay, if you compare their, I don't have the local comparison, but this is Japan's McDonald's Cup versus U.S. McDonald's Cup, okay? This is Japan large. This is U.S. medium, okay? And you can see even the medium is more than a large, all right? In fact, many years ago, and the movie made it famous, you guys watched Super Size Me, right? There was an option, they took it out, okay, too unhealthy, okay? Super Size Me was an option that every cashier at McDonald's will ask you, do you want to supersize? And if you supersize your cup, you get, well, you basically get this cup. And this cup is equivalent to about 1.2 liters of water. So can you imagine, you are almost drinking a bottle of Coke, the one that you buy from the supermarket, every time you go to McDonald's. And if there's one word that can describe God's, you know, abounding grace, it is really similar to this. It is excessive. It's almost like you don't need it. It's so much so that you don't need it. That's what God's abounding grace means. It's so much, you don't know what to do with it. It is excessive. So God's amazing grace is abounding. Okay? That's the first comparison. The second one, verse 16. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. Okay, so this is comparing the result of God's grace and the result of our sin and our trespasses, of our gap. Okay, the result is this. It continues verse 16. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. That means we just missed the mark just a little bit. It already condemned us. And condemnation simply means to... If you're talking about, let's say, a death row prisoner, someone that's about to die, okay, the state has decided to kill this person off, whether by injection, hanging, electric chair, whatever. You basically say, this guy has been condemned to death. He has been put to death. He has been locked up. He has been, you know, he has been sentenced in that sense. All right? That's the condemnation that is the result of our trespass. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Okay, this is the free gift of grace that God has for you and me. It brought about justification, and justification simply means it is the desire, in a sense, okay, to be released, okay, from being judged, from being condemned, I guess, okay, to be set free. And so, the second thing about God's abundant grace is this: it is releasing. Okay. This is the result of it, okay? It releases us. That's what His amazing grace does. To be released from... The important thing here is it talks about being released from the deserved punishment that you and I are supposed to go through. You see, it's one thing that, you know, we be punished for something that we don't deserve. It's quite another to be, you know, to be released from something that we do, all right? The way to explain this is like this, okay? God's grace typically is defined as His unmerited favor, the unmerited favor of God towards us. That is the typical definition. And while it doesn't fully convey about the abundant grace, it does talk about the unmerited. That means it was something that is undeserved. None of us meet the mark. It is undeserved. It is unmerited. It is unwarranted. If we don't have it coming our way, it is purely by His grace and His mercy. Okay? Today, the closest, at least in my own experience of feeling this unmerited favor, is the way that I treat Ender. This is not his picture. It's some photo on the internet. I couldn't find one nice one with him. Okay? Now, sometimes, okay, I guess all the parents would kind of understand. I pick Ender up from his preschool at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, okay, to come back. When he comes back to the house, I need to feed him lunch at 2. But because he is who he is, I often have to kind of settle him first to make sure he has his lunch, he eats ready, then put him for bed for his afternoon nap. Then at about 3 or 4, whenever I'm free, then I eat my lunch. Okay, so to eat at 3 or 4, I don't know about you, man, but I get hangry, okay? I'm hungry, I'm angry, things set me off, man, I feel frustrated. Do you guys get hangry? Only the bad people, okay? All of us feeling a bit hangry now, okay? We need to go for dinner soon, okay? But there's this one time, okay? He doesn't do it often, okay? But this one time he did something, but he's just being him, okay? It wasn't his fault. And I snapped at him, okay? I shouted at him, I scolded him. And when I did that, I realized, oh, no, it's my fault, okay? He didn't do anything wrong. He's just being himself. But it was me being impatient and irritated and so on and so forth, right? Now, so what I did was, he was sad because I shouted at him. So I said, Ender, you know, I'm so sorry, okay? Can you forgive me? Can you, you know, Papa is so angry right now, but, you know, I still love you. Can you forgive me? And sometimes, not always, his response will be like this. His response will be, it's okay, Papa. Then he will give me a sayang. I don't know how, you guys understand, right? He'll come and comfort me and say, Papa, it's not your fault. I love you, okay? That's his response. Sometimes, okay, I wish it's all the time, but I don't get it, okay? And I realized that, you know, I didn't deserve any of it. In fact, the whole thing was my fault, okay? But he was so gracious that even though he was the one that felt the end of my scolding and whatever, my terror in the sense, but he was graceful, right, towards me. He forgives me. In fact, he reconciled me. He would hug me. He would make sure that I'm okay, right? And that's what it means, okay? And that's what it means to be released from the condemnation, to be released from the things that we deserve. Now we are being set free. Okay, and I'll expand more a bit later. Now, the third comparison, and the last one, it says this, okay, in verse 17. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, all right? Because of Adam, death reigned. But, it says here, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. In other words, the third property of God's abundant grace is that it is assuring. Okay? And what do I mean by that? The comparison is between death. Okay? And so Benjamin Franklin has this pretty famous quote. He says this, "In this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes." You heard this before, right? Basically, it implies that in the uncertainty of our world, two things is for sure, okay? All of us will die, and all of us will someday be taxed by the government, okay? The only two things that is sure. But did you know that's not the way it's meant to be? You see, the world thinks that death is a natural part of life, okay? It's just our life cycle. People live and die and so on. But it was never like that. It was not God's intention. It was because of our gap. It was because we missed the mark. Therefore, our life now is marked by death, okay? But on the flip side of it, okay, the amazing thing about God's grace is this. Is that if the world thinks that death and taxes, or well, mostly death, is a sure thing, then grace is also a sure thing as well. In fact, even much more. So God, what God grace does to us who live in death, and we talk about decaying, I think it was in the last message, is this, okay? What if we cancel that certainty and change it with a new certainty that in this world, nothing is certain but the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. That's why it is a sure thing, okay? That's why God's grace is so good, because it promises, it guarantees that our life will be abundance. There will be an abundance of grace, and it will be full with the free gift of righteousness. It would rain so much. It would mark our life so much so that when people see, wow, that is amazing. Okay? So those are just real quick the three kind of properties of God's abundant grace. Now, let's bring it back to where we are. I'm pretty sure that a lot of us, we don't actually experience God's abundant grace. All right? You think so? Do we experience His grace in the sense that it is overwhelming, that is overflowing, that so much of it is excess? Do we experience His grace in a way that it frees us and releases us? Do we experience His grace to believe that, you know, His grace is just such a sure thing in our lives? Most of us, we don't, at least not day to day, maybe once in a while, okay? I'm going to try to cover what this new gap is, all right? Now, verse 19, Bible says, "For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners," okay? So this is the clue that unlocks it for us. How can we then experience God's grace in a much bigger way, especially for 2020, for this new year in our lives, okay? And so, back in the day, just one disobedience, all of us were made sinners, okay? But the Bible says, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. The reason why we don't experience His grace is because of our disobedience. But the reason, the, On the other hand, the reason why we can, in fact, experience His grace is because of Jesus' obedience on that cross. That's why we can experience His grace. Okay, continues to say, so that as sin reigned in death, grace might also reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, so this is the secret to experiencing even more of His grace in our lives. It talks here, okay, about how in our lives we are walking and leading towards it. There is a walk in our lives, okay? And so to experience His grace, we not just walk, we not just believe, but we walk in obedience. That's the key. That is the invitation of God to say that, hey, guys, you know, my grace for you, and the very reason why that grace existed is so that we can walk in obedience. If you think about how death, in a sense, is falling away from God, remember, that's our trespass, then walking in obedience is walking back to where we belong with God, to restore our faith, in a sense, to restore our relationship with God, okay? So, not just about believing, but about obeying, okay? Listen to a different scripture in Hebrews. It says here, and being made perfect, talking about Jesus, He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. Okay? The key to unlocking it is in the obedience. All right? So today, the way we define God's grace will determine how you walk with Him. All right? And so, grace can either be seen one of two ways. Okay? This one, I think it's a simple illustration, but you know, sometimes when you have meetings or you have church and then they say, oh, hey guys, you got 10 minutes grace. Okay, grace. What does that mean for most of us? It really means that we can be 10 minutes late, correct? Right? So if we view grace in a way that it gives us permission to slip up, it gives us permission to, you know, to fall and all that. That's just a very small definition of grace. If we take grace to be just that wow, you know, we can mess up and, you know, God still has the grace. If we take it just like that, then we will never experience the abundant grace of God. It will always be something that, you know, like is like this, okay? Something that is, you know, not what it's meant to be, all right? But the abundant grace of God is different, okay? And the way, let me explain it to you. I don't know why I put a picture of pineapples, but it's supposed to be, it says here, encouraging quotes to lift your spirits, okay? And it's like this. I've been up here for about 5 years now, okay? Almost day in, week in, week out, I need to come up here to give a message to everyone. Now, in that 5 years, I've become a little bit better. I remember, I think it was John that said, oh, I remember your first message all the way in Puchong. But John was gracious. He didn't say it sucks or it's terrible. But I knew it did, okay? I knew it was a terrible message. Now, I'm not great yet. I hope to be. But the story is this, okay? The reason why I was encouraged to continuously be up here, even though I felt like I wasn't good at this, okay? I never felt that I preach great or I give good messages. In fact, I felt like it's pretty poor, okay? So sermon after sermon, man, I feel like, what am I doing? I have no idea. It was terrible, okay? People didn't respond to me, so on and so forth. But from the very first day, from the very first message that I shared, all the way up to now, in the church, not this church, especially the Puchong church where I grew up in, okay, there was a group of old kind of aunties and uncles, okay? So-called my fan club, I call them now, right? And these old auntie and uncles, they are old Christians, right? They are so encouraging, let me tell you. When I stepped down from the first really terrible message, there's this guy, okay, Uncle Dennis, he'll come and say, wow, Bernard, wow, so anointed. You know, wow, that was amazing. And to me, I was like, huh? Did we listen to the same message? You know, were you in the same room as I? Or how can this be, okay? But not only him, there were other people. You know, his wife, Peggy, was just so encouraging, so good. People like, I don't know if you guys know Sufi, that I've invited here to speak to us, or Nancy. And they are always so encouraging. And you feel like they are not just saying nice things to be nice to you. You know, sometimes people just say nice things, but they don't really mean it. You really feel like, wow, they believe in you. In fact, you feel like they could see something in you that you yourself can't see for yourself. All right? That, to me, it's a hint of the abundant grace of God. You see, God's grace is not so that we can screw up and then it's okay. God's grace is to release us to be the person God sees in us all the while. That is the reason for His amazing, abundant grace in the first place. And so we walk in obedience today because we can walk in obedience because of His abundant grace. It is His abundant grace that allows us to walk and to become and to fulfill who we were really meant to be. And all we needed to do is to participate in that, to say, yes, I'm going to walk more in obedience because of Your grace. All right? So turn to your neighbor and tell them, walk in obedience. Okay, walk in obedience. That is the key to unlocking our 2020 for you and I. Okay, now, I would like to encourage all of you, okay, the whole church, to go on this journey of the amazing grace with us. If you desire, if you want to participate in what God is doing, then come and join us, okay? We are going to do a very short, I think, 5 days of prayer and fasting, okay? What all that entails is all in the book. We have laid it out, how to fast, okay? We have given you the information that you need. In fact, it is so good because if you flip the pages, let's say page 7, it says there, okay, the things in 2020 that you want to believe God for, okay? See, for your family, for your education, for career, for your ministry, so on and so forth. You continue. It is all the prayers that you want to do, all the things that you are committed to doing. And all that is to learn how to walk in obedience, in greater obedience towards God. All right? Now, if you are joining us, all right, just for the next 5 days, we're going to start tomorrow our prayer. So I encourage all of you, you know, come join us, pray together with us. Best of all, if you can, fast together with us as well. Okay, what's fasting? All in the book, okay? And the next 5 days, we are going to combine our prayer meetings. We're going to come together and pray together with every nation, Malaysia. So all the churches in Malaysia, we are going to pray together, okay? So first day is in PJ, then Damansara Gateway. Our prayer combined will be here Thursday, okay? Don't tell anybody, Thursday night. Be here, okay? We're going to come here. All the other churches are going to come here, and we're going to pray and fast together and believe God for an amazing 2020 together, okay? So priority for all of us Cyber Jaya people, please come for Cyber Jaya one on Thursday. And if you can, let's go for the others as well, okay? So carpool, take Grab, doesn't matter. It's just for these 5 days. We won't do it again until the very next year, all right? So come on board together with us. All right, walk in obedience. Can I get you to stand up with me as we bring this kind of message to a close? Okay. Today, I hope that you are blessed by the message. I hope that, you know, you will take the decision and make the decision to walk in obedience with God. And I just want to say this before we close. Today, we can walk in obedience because we have a life that is fueled by grace. That's what the abundant grace, that's what the result of this abundant grace really is. You see, today you and I, we don't have to walk in fear of making mistakes. Not just that. But today, you and I, we walk in a way that God wants to release us to be the very best we can be. We want to walk in a way that, you know, God will just fuel us with an abundant grace. Can you imagine that if everyday life were filled with the abundant grace of God. That it was so much that you didn't know what to do with it. Every day it's like, wow, so much grace. In fact, this grace was so good. Can you imagine that every day you wake up, you feel like this grace, it propels you to become the very best version of you. It propels you to do what is good. It propels you to do what is right. It releases you. In fact, every day, this grace of God, it will be such a sure thing in our lives. Even more sure than death. Even more sure than taxes. If we can be sure of one thing in this life, it is God's amazing grace. What a life that would be, don't you think? When we look back at 2020 next year, and we say that, wow, our life is marked by the abundant grace of God. That is a good year, amen. You agree? Today I want to invite just the worship team up. And we're going to come before God because everything is made available because of who God is. We can walk this way because of what He has done towards us. So I want to come together and let's begin to worship God. Let's begin to lift up and honor and glorify a God that is so amazing, that is so graceful towards us, that so loved us so much that He was willing to go through all of that so you and I, we can have the abundant life. Amen. Let's worship God.
Let's sing together.
To minister to a lot of us. In the Bible, in Isaiah chapter 40, it says in verse 30 that even youth grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. Verse 31, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. You know, when we walk in obedience, the abundance of grace will follow us. That's the promise of God. And so today, can we do a kind of a prophetic, a symbolic even kind of gesture towards God? Today, if you are hoping on God for 2020, will you say to God, God, I'm going to walk in obedience towards you? And so if you, I'm just going to give you a couple of seconds to decide, okay? Decide in your heart, decide in your life, decide for 2020. If you want to, let's walk in obedience towards God, because we are filled with such an amazing grace in our lives. So if that's you, if that's me, this is what I want us to do. If you're ready, if you have decided, I want you to symbolically just take a step forward, a mini step, doesn't have to be a big step. Just do it, okay? Say, God, as you do it, say, God, I'm going to walk in obedience towards you. Yeah. So come on, take a step forward. Yes. Take a step of obedience. Take a step of faith. Father, we pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord, who have decided to walk 2020 in obedience towards you, O God. God, we pray that this year, Lord, your abundant grace, O God, Lord, Father, will overflow in our lives, O God. God, we pray, O God, Lord, for our 2020 to be a walk full of strength, O God, Lord, that we will not grow weary or tired, O God, because we are filled by your grace, O God. And so we pray, Lord, for your amazing mercies for us each and every morning to be new, O God. Lord, that as we wake up the 366 days, O God, of 2020, Lord, we pray, Father, Lord, that we would always experience a greater measure of your grace, O God. We will always experience a new measure of your grace in our lives, O God. Lord, we pray for your grace to be so excessive in our lives, we don't even know what to do with it, O God. We pray, Lord, that our grace will be contagious, O God, that the people that's around us, O God, will also be able to experience your amazing grace, O God. So we commit, O God, Lord, Father, this church into your hands. We pray, Lord, indeed, Lord, that it would be a favorable year of the Lord of 2020 for each and every one of us. God, we pray, Father, I pray, Lord, that as we come before you, O God, in our prayer and fasting this week, O God, Lord, that you begin to speak to us, O God, Lord, that you begin to answer our prayers, O God, Lord, you begin to intercede, O God, for our lives, O God, Lord, Father, and so we commit and we trust in you for 2020 in the amazing name of Jesus. Everyone says amen, amen, amen.
Isn't the message for this year starts with amazing, amazing word from the Lord, right? Yeah, if I have a takeaway, the moment Pastor Bernard showed the Ten Commandments, we can realize that the magnitude of our sin, we can also understand the magnitude of God's grace given to us. And because of the abundance of grace, we can walk in obedience to Him. So let's commit ourselves to the Lord in this prayer and fasting week. And see you tomorrow, maybe in PJ, if some of you are available. And please support our own prayer and fasting night on Thursday, 8:30 p.m. That's here at the Pulse. All right? Have a blessed week. I hope you enjoy the service for tonight. Glory to God and amazing grace to each and every one of you.